This is Steve Weiner. I used to write for the David Letterman Show. This is Mike Chisholm, who spent an entire life dreaming of being on the David Letterman Show and will never happen. Watch his podcast instead. La, 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 la.
Welcome once again to the Letterman Podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm. This is our trick-or-treat episode. The treat is we have Sue Hum, and she has come on the show once again. For those of you who don't know, she was the wardrobe costume designer, the head of clothing on Late Night with David Letterman and Late Show with David Letterman. Well over 30 years, Sue Hum is a legend. Many people saw her on screen many times come on stage and berate David Letterman. That was a lot of fun. If you want to see a very cool Sue Hum retrospective, go to the regular Letterman channel, the Letterman YouTube channel. Sue Hum has a staff favorite moments. Also, she has been on this show once before. Love Sue very, very much. She's come on here, and I think, I don't know if this is going to be a tradition. I hope it is, because there was a bit that ran every year for David Letterman, and that was around Halloween time. He had a bit where kids' Halloween costumes, this year's Halloween costumes, and what would happen was they'd build a set with a front door, and there'd be a ding-dong sound or another sound of some sort. Dave would open the door, and a child would walk in a funny costume. Sue and her team, but Sue is the one that helmed that whole thing. The writers would bring her ideas for these gags, and it was just a fantastic time of year for her, except it was also breakneck speed and trying to get these amazing costumes built for this bit. And so this year, it's Halloween right now. Let's have Sue on, and we're going to go through. She's showing us some of her sketches and some of the costumes as they were conceived, and then, of course, also to what appeared on screen. She has a whole bunch of memory about this. Now, that's the treat. The trick is, and we're going to trick you a little bit here, because it wasn't exactly the best technically sound episode. The internet connection on Sue's side was not great, so there are points where there are blanks that happen because she was frozen and there was no sound. And so I've had to edit as much of that out as I possibly can. I'm not a great video editor, as you all know. So that's kind of the trick of this episode, but still lots of very cool little tidbits. It's definitely worth putting the episode out for sure. And just Sue's a friend. She's a friend of the Letterman Podcast. We're so excited about that. And hopefully we'll be able to get her on for years to come around this time of year. And we can go through some of these amazing costumes. And it's cool because I threw a couple at her that she wasn't ready for me to throw at her. And she had all these amazing memories. The chapstick that boils over in your pocket. Yeah, the kid who was wearing that one, Barbara Gaines' son, Simon. Very cool. And lots of other little tidbits about this. So the Letterman Podcast, of course, brought to you by hello-deli.com. Go to hello-deli.com to get Late Show with David Letterman merchandise, like mugs, like shirts, like hats, and sold, of course, by and packed by personally. The legendary Rupert G, who may not be running the Hello Deli anymore, but he's still running hello-deli.com. So without further ado, the Letterman Podcast is proud to present Sue Hum. Sue, thank you for coming back on the Letterman Podcast. I appreciate your time very much. This is going to be a lot of fun today.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored. I didn't expect this, what happened in October.
Yeah.
Course, it's right around from Halloween.
Yeah, well, and your first time that you were on here, so many people were excited, you know, because the only time they ever saw you was when you were coming out on stage, of course, telling Dave, saying something derogatory to him and telling him to go shove it, that kind of a thing. And yes. I just loved that you went into your background the last time that you were on and where you came from. And it was just a natural that at Halloween, we would have you back on because then we could focus on some of these costumes that you built. Because as we talked about off air, you put heart and soul and effort into these costumes. It was a big deal, these kids' Halloween costumes.
Yes, this segment was a big deal for 32 years. And then when you asked me about coming onto your podcast, I said, gee, let me count how many costumes I did just for that particular segment. And during that period of time, it's over 380 costumes. 380. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes, 380 costumes, let alone just the Daily Show. But this was the big time of being very creative. And I'd like to tell you procedure and the way the costumes evolve and how that segment happens. And I can go into that.
Absolutely.
So let me start off with saying that all the concepts come from writers. And so they're being compiled about a couple of weeks. The last week in September, something starts buzzing, and the collection of ideals start to come. And the I end up with about 12 total that I have to make. Only kind of 9 get on. So how it starts is that I get the list and I start sketching away, but I give phone calls to the writers to get a more definition of what they mean, because word and the physical sign of something, an image, is two different things, you know, sometimes. So by that time, it's first of October, but I don't get started in actuality until I get the okay with head writers of all my sketches, showing them the images to okay and certain ideals and changes. And then in the 2 weeks of that madness, it is pure madness, because I am doing that segment, let alone the Daily Show. So I am running around, first of all, how to get the supplies to the costume prop shop that I use. And I have used one shop named Geppetto Studios, and we connect, and you don't have to explain. And you know the shop's skill, Scott Malampi. He's so skillful. And we unstable, it says over here,
Yeah,
my
like you
internet.
said, you don't have the greatest Wi-Fi, but we're just going to keep going with it. No problem.
Okay, yeah, something is wrong. Yeah. So I get all the supplies, because when I'm doing 7 and 8 year old or maybe younger, I have to think in terms of materials that I use. And I use something called mini cell phone for the most part. And I'm getting all the supplies that are light, because children don't know how to balance weight. You know, they have to walk to the right of stage to all the wardrobe people that are guiding them off, you know. So in those 2 weeks, I am dealing with material graphics, and I had used ads company, and I would do these all after hours. You know, the costume shop is not in Manhattan, it is in Brooklyn, Sunset Park. That takes me an hour by train to get there.
Oh my
And
goodness.
the graphic people are in Jersey City, New Jersey. I get there too by public transportation. But then I use the same people, because we're all on the same page and they know exactly what I mean, you know? And once I go into the shop in those 2 weeks, I'm in there every night seeing the progress, telling them what corrections, what proportions, the night before Halloween show. And the Halloween show could be, and that's usually a double taping, it could be on the first show or the second show, accordingly to the dates of all the years gone by. Yeah.
I
And
oh, go ahead.
you know, I tell you, the staff really looks forward to that Halloween day. Everybody has fun. Everybody has fun. Yeah. Big
At what
day.
point did you start using staff's children for
Okay.
the episodes? Was that at the beginning, or was that something that you did later on in the run?
All right. When we were at NBC,
yep,
we use all actor
yep.
children. Then when we went to CBS, we started using some actors and some staffer nieces.
Yep.
You know, it all became that. Yeah.
Was there one you preferred?
One I preferred?
Yeah. Did you prefer actors, or did you like the staffer's kids?
You know, it was just fine. You know, it's just fine. You know, the actor kids were pretty much knew what to do. I mean, got you know, little actor kids, they're yep. marvelous. They're always listening and doing exactly what you said. You know,
yep.
they were adorable ones. Yeah, they were adorable ones. Yeah.
I just imagine we've got some pictures here that we're going to show later on in the episode. And one of the years that we picked was 2013. And when you think about it, those kids into that 10 years ago, they're all adults now.
I know.
Isn't that weird? That's kind of trippy. Did you ever see any of the kids that you had in any of your stuff and then see them later on in life?
Only on Facebook when I tune into my friends. And see what's happening, and they post something, some family outing or vacation, and I would see how big they were and how grown up they were, how they changed, you know. Yeah, I would see them by then. Yeah, usually I have not seen them, you know, in person.
I want to go back to some of the stuff you talked about in the process. So you talk about the writers. Were there any particular writers over the years that were either assigned or they kind of specialized in the Halloween costumes, or was it a random, like it was every writer was a part of it?
Every writer was a part of it. You know, every writer.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, when I was at NBC, you know, there were particular ones that did that, like Steve O'Donnell. And mm-hmm. I don't know who the writer was. It might have been Joe Toplin. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't know that.
No, that's cool. And I want to know the difference between the workshops, your workshop at NVC versus your workshop at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Did you have more room in the Ed, or was it because NBC had such a big footprint in that building? Were there more resources there?
I'll tell you, in NBC, the design department had a whole floor to themselves where they had work tables,
yep.
and they had the graphic designers there, and set designers from the other shows were there.
Yep.
So we were like a whole big family there. When we moved over to CBS, I only had there was no workshop, zero workshop, only storage.
Wow.
So I would go, and I had no time. I had time. Time was of the essence, you know. Everything was done. A lot of the stuff was done in 24 hours and 2 days.
Yep.
Of the other costumes regarding the show. But this one, I had a little time, but still they would write more costumes for the Halloween show. And that has still had to be run to the shop. Yeah.
And where was the shop in relation to the Ed Sullivan Theater? Like, where did you work?
The shop was in Sunset Park. I don't know if you know where Sunset Park is. That's a train ride by the D train in the lower depths of Brooklyn.
Okay, so that's the Brooklyn shop you were talking about.
Now, yeah.
Okay, so in a work day, because obviously, you know, like you said, you've got the show that's going on every single day, and you're having to make sure Dave is dressed and whatnot. You had a staff though too, right? You had Rodney and you had a couple of people who could help with some of this load, right?
Actually, no. No. Rodney was only there for, I don't know, two years,
yeah.
Something like that. But I had an assistant, Juliet, and I had Isabel at times, and then I had a wardrobe girl, head of wardrobe, Natalie.
Yep.
And she would, at that time on Halloween, hire about four other handlers. That's the only time. You know, Cho was cha-ching budget day conscious.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, budget conscious. But that's how it worked. I would solely go there in the morning, and then, or after the show, I would end up being there 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I can only imagine. At that time, how much of your time, would it be 50-50 in the theater versus other places, or were you, the majority of your time, were you in other places during that time?
Majority of the time, I was at the show.
Okay.
And I had to do that after the show. Showtime was over. I went and got the train to go to Sunset Park.
Long days.
An hour. And I would be there every day for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Every day at night. Yeah. Just to see and to control what was happening and making sure things were specific, even though we had good communication, you know, color, shape, everything had to be considered. Yeah. They were fantastic to work with, Scott Malampy and his crew. All the crew were art students from college, you know.
Oh, that's
so they all
cool.
Had a head of sense of something. Yeah.
And like you said, we talked about this off camera a little bit before we hit the record button. A lot of these costumes, you know, they're ornate, they're delicate. You put all this time and effort into them, and then the moment the Halloween episode is over, they're ready to get thrown away. But you couldn't bear to throw some of the parts of those costumes away. You have a lot of costume accessories in your place, don't you?
Well, you know, I have the actual costume, because the ones that I saved are the ones that I had to do a lot of ingenuity thought, unless it was too large.
Yeah.
And I just, like, one was the four opter to examine your eyes for, yeah, glasses. That took a bit of doing, you know, of figuring out and how to harness the costume to the child's body.
Yep.
And those were all quick changes, and then it all became that the size of the children, which I took their measurements through telephone calls with the parents, but they had to be a universal size because they changed out children to other costumes if they struck a costume. So it had to fit, you know? It just had to fit universally. So
yeah.
I had a universal 7-year-old size, you know?
So there had to be some flexibility there, because Dave would even joke about that sometimes. You know, you'd see, the same child in the same sketch two or three times or whatever. Yeah,
yes.
You would see that. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, that happened a couple of times. Yeah.
So, let's bring the viewer back, the viewer of this show who, maybe they were a fan of the show, maybe they're just kind of catching up. The segment was basically the same. I went back and looked at the original segments all the way to the very last one. The segments were almost identical. And I mean, if you think about that, 32 years of the same, you know, annual segment, a little set was built that was supposed to be Dave's house. And there was a door. And,
yeah,
and basically there'd be a, you know, a sound effect of a doorbell or something.
Yes.
Else. And Dave would open the door. And a child would walk in, and the costume,
yeah,
that the child was wearing was unconventional, and it was a comedy piece. Were there ever times where the either at rehearsal or coming up, did costumes ever get cut? Like, did you if it's 8 or 9 for the segment, you had 10 or 11 there, and then they would cut it last minute and say, no, it's not quite what we were looking for. Did that ever happen?
All costumes were approved image-wise.
Yep.
They were cut by choice of what was funny.
Yeah.
What was amusing, you know? That's how they were cut. You would think, there was always a meeting after rehearsal, who's the sequence of who's going first, who's going last for the laugh, to build it up. I mean, yep. all that's, it, you know, is considered, you know, and it's the head writer. And I think Barbara Gaines is in it all the time.
Yep.
Doing the finalizing, you know that before showtime, everybody is in Dave's dressing room, chomping down the minutes and the seconds and how it's going to go, because it's up to Dave to make it a show when we're on, and he is so concerned about that.
It's so funny talking to you about this, Sue, because, you know, I've talked to so many writers, and these writers have these comedy pieces, some of them that go all the way, you know, these extras that would be filmed, beautiful pieces, you know, cut down to about a 3-minute, video presentation. And then just before the show, yeah, no, and it would never get aired. It's interesting that in this, you went through the same thing in this place here.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, you go through all this work and you build this costume, but at the same time, it might look beautiful and whatnot, but if it just didn't fit the sensibility or somebody's mood was off, either Dave's or one of the writers or somebody, they say, yeah, no, we're not going to use it. And all of that work didn't happen. Was that frustrating, or did you just learn to roll with it?
You know, I knew that when I do 12, I know 8 or 9 are only getting in. And, you know, I am so busy that yep. I cannot be concerned. I wished something would go on, that something that like took a lot of effort and thinking yep. on something. Like, there was a Purell bottle that yeah. the child was inside, and it took a lot of technical buying a machine that would melt the acrylic plastic into shape and bend it while it's hot and all that, so that you didn't see any seams. And anything that was technically a big undertaking, I sort of got a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get that's perfectly natural, because these costumes are amazing. I'm going to share the screen right now and show an example of one. You know, and you think about this. So there's one where a child was going to be Downton Abbey. Can you see that?
Yes, yes, yes.
So that was, you know, and I just love it so much. Like, look at this sketch. Like, were you familiar with the show Downton Abbey, or did you have to research what it was?
I watched that religiously, and I found that Downton Abbey was an estate of the Highclere Castle.
Yep.
And, you know, I work with ads company, now that's in Jersey City, to yep. do that, to conceive how we're going to get that through the door. I measure the door all the time to see if what gets fit in. And so we boiled it down to cutting it in half. And I said, I am never going to get that image on unless I do some relief and photographs. So it took a graphic designer there to hone down, take the castle's little, what do you call those steeples on the yep. side, the corner. And we knew the child was going to be in the center, and I had to build it all the way around. So we honed it down, and these are the working shots of the logistics of how it had to be. And also I had to figure out how to strap the little kid in there. It took time. That was several times. Of course, that I said to the ads company, well, now that Halloween's over, would you like to have this back? Because I know it's going in the waste paper can.
Yep.
So and you see all the working estimate. You see all the working measurements on my worksheet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It and it turned out so beautifully. And you know, it's funny watching Dave help them get through the door and all of that.
Yeah.
And whatnot. Were you there? like as the kids are going out and they would walk off stage, usually they wouldn't go back through the door. They would walk out. Are you sitting there right beside the door helping these kids get through there?
I'm the wardrobe people are doing that, yeah. But I'm back there. My main thing is making sure that the costumes is on their shoulder in position, and I'm talking to the kids. Are they feeling comfortable? And I'm telling them, you know, hold your trick or treat bag on the right, Dave's on the right, and be sure and speak up so that everybody can hear you. And the kids are pretty psyched, you know. There's a monitor right in front of the camera where Dave is doing. Most of the kids are looking at the monitor, looking at themselves going on. They're pretty psyched. They're cute. Yeah. Little adults, you know.
Absolutely. You know, I just, I look at some of these things and I just marvel at them. There's the faucet.
Oh, yeah.
A non-working automatic faucet.
Yes.
And
on that non-working, one thing had to work. Of course, there was a light that had to be on, red or blinking.
Yep.
And, of course, that was a big success. A silly-ass thing like that, automatic faucet. When that came in the doors, it was ginormous. And that was made out of mini cell foam, which was very light. And to make it silver,
yeah.
There's the shop and I found out, you know, a lot of stuff is experimental. How does the paint go on to make it silver? Does it soak into the foam? And so we found techniques to do that. Little simple things that you have in the shop you wouldn't know that would solve the solution, you know?
There's another one. I don't know when this one was used, but another bathroom. Lots of bathroom utensils and things like that. There's a floss stick right there.
Yeah. That brought out a howl and a laugh, you know, with that. And of course, that kid had to duck in a little bit at the door to come in. Yeah. And those are all researched. I go online and I research everything. This Arby's thing,
yeah,
that was so successful that Arby's called the shop and wanted them to make one for them. Okay. Things like that happen, but they wouldn't pay the price. You know, things like that just don't, you know, it's not $100, you know, like the Halloween costume you get now at those bought hot dogs or whatever.
Yep.
You see in those Halloween spirit costumes that,
yep,
shops that come in temporarily. All that meat, you know, was all out of foam and individually sprayed and put together like a sandwich. And Maria Pope's daughter did that one. She loved it. She took that one home. I don't know if she still has it.
I gotta ask. I saw Maria at Rupert's retirement party, and I got a chance to go up to her and tell her how many people I've had a lot of people tell me how much they appreciate her, and so that's really nice to hear. She's going to be, we talked about her coming on the show here. So hopefully.
Yeah. She's we'll have got her good ideas soon. In her brain.
Yeah.
Good ideas. I always respected that, you know, but
the idea of, you know, Arby's calling you up and saying, hey, can we have that, that you brought up cost. One of the questions I have here for you is, on a given year, do they give you a separate kind of budget for the Halloween costume segment? Is there a number that's there, or is it just whatever the writers came up, your job was to dream it up and keep it as low as possible? Or did you have a number you had to stay with?
I'll tell you what, I go to the shop and they bid on, and give me an estimate.
Okay.
And then I handle them. And then I said, okay, that's worth it. Then I showed them the accountant the budget.
Gotcha.
At the show. And gotcha. It's acceptable. You know, let alone the construction fee is separate from the material fee.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally separate, which I totally shop that because I know, you know, all these years, you just know where to get it. You know it's going to work, you know, anything. Yeah.
That is that is a hell of a job.
I forgot to tell you, I forgot to show you one that I thought was successful. You know, one is the New York City garbage can after a heavy rain. There's nothing but broken umbrellas all strewn all over the place in the waste paper can. So I go to the shop. They've done it, and I've got this mesh that I get at Home Depot to go around something that's very light to simulate a trash can. And one of his workers thought it was really easy to do that. So he busted up a lot of the umbrellas that I got, you know, cheap umbrellas. And, you know, you have to put a kid in the middle, and you have to design. So we busted up a few more umbrellas.
Got to be careful with those points.
Oh, yeah.
Here, let's see what else we got here. Oh, I have a little bit of technical difficulty here on this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, maybe it's my place.
No. I love this one here.
Oh,
Mayor
yeah,
Bloomberg
that
at the podium. That's fantastic.
That is so funny. And you see my little sketch on the metal brace to hold it up, because all this is made out of gator board, which is like styrofoam.
Yeah, so got to be really light for those kids, right?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be light. And then this is all in the front of him. You know, he's got to steady himself, you know. Yeah, that. And then, see, the logo, I had to have that logo printed out at a graphic place. Because the graphic designer of the show is busy with the show.
Yeah, every day.
But then, every day. But I get to tell him, send that disc over. Pull it and send that disc over, because that'll help with the cost of the costume. That just have the disc sent over to him. So all he has to do is pop it in, you know. Then there was disc, you know.
One of the things that, look at the Crocs. Look at the Crocs there.
Yeah, that was such a fun thing. You know, I don't know when you remember when the Crocs were so popular and
everybody had them. Yeah.
Everybody had them. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's still one of them. They were so big, the shop Geppetto took them, you know. Geppetto now is upstate near Utica, you know.
Oh, wow.
Guess what? It's priced out by the landlords, and shops closed down, and shops moved out of town. Costumes are using California.
Yeah.
Times change.
Absolutely. So now they're upstate. They were in Geppetto's.
Yeah,
in Brooklyn.
They're
upstate.
Now they're upstate. He's doing well.
I love this one. Ted Williams' head.
Oh, that was hilarious. And that was the real child's head in there.
Of course,
and
yeah.
Of course, I had to have air vents in the back. Yeah, that was good. Oh, it was hoot. And that was that's a run over gecko, you know. Yeah. And, you know, real leaves, real tires, stuff like that.
Well, and it's funny because some of them, like you say, are like really ornate and detailed, and they're very unique. Then there are some where, you know, it's more of a, it's just the tire tread. You know, this is a fairly simple costume as far as costumes go, But then the tire tread and the comedy comes with the accessory to it. And it seems like every year there was a balance of both of those things. There was, you know, really, really complex ones. And then also just a very simple joke as well.
Well, you know, the people like Omar Gaddafi,
yeah,
Hugo Chavez, all those, Tom Cruise and his wife, you know, we would have those kids dress up like that. Yeah. Oh, of course, this one, I had to go out and buy sushi for my research.
Well, of course. Of course.
And play with the design, you know, and the graphics. Yeah. And that got changed out to another child. That was rehearsal. You see, a lot of those pictures I gave you are rehearsal time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, with the Stengel there, a writer. Yeah.
And there's a lot more food.
There's the initial.
Yeah, a lot more food. Yeah, a lot of food.
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, the food ones are always good.
Yeah, little food that.
Let's see here. I've got...
that one was... That
which one
with the gasoline? Oh, let's see. The gasoline?
The Gulf Station, yes.
That was a bit of doing that. You see, there's knobs on the sides to the left.
Right there,
Yeah, and the prices would change out, and those are triangles. And Dave, we had arrows on those little knobs, so Dave knew which way to turn them, because the prices were going up and out. And I still have that one in my house, because that was like, let's get clever so it's humorous, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Those little details of being able to turn the signs, that's great. You still have this one?
Yes, I do. I don't know what to do, but I have it. I have it. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The concept and then the actual.
Yeah.
Very,
you know, that's
very
important
cool.
With costume designers. You do what your sketch says. Oh, yes.
Halloween 04. So think about this for a second here. We're almost 20 years ago. And how much mileage does making fun of Donald Trump's hair have? I mean, gosh, that's almost a universal joke. We're talking decades now. Making fun of Donald Trump's hair. Look at that.
Well, Dave would just go at him when he was on stage, you know. But, you know, Donald would come in and I would, you know, Dave would say, is that a toupee you're wearing? Yeah. And so I would always check Donald's hair out and walk behind him when he went into the stage door and check it out. He just quaffed it. His hair was thin, but he was quaffing it.
Sure.
And this was made out of raffia.
What's raffia?
You know what raffia is? It's a straw-like, ribbon-like that is used in decorations. People use it to tie presents or make raffia. You know, there you go. Making aesthetic choices. Oh, that one.
An animal
that
cookie.
That one I love. Oh, gosh. You know the people who make crayons? What's it, Smith?
Crayola?
Crayola.
Yep.
I wrote to them and I said, I'm doing a animal cracker. Send me that white Play-Doh stuff that dries, that I need a lot of it. So they send me tubs of this stuff. I molded it. And when it was finished, I send them the costume back to them. It was a fun thing. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, 97.
By the way, there are the kids after 2013. Pizza party. I assume that would always be the tradition. The kids would always get a party in the green room.
Yeah. They like it. They had a ball. Children had a ball. Okay. It was such a nice thing to do.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to get some pictures of the actual show. This is all 2013 here. So this is a seat obstructed by a pillar.
Yes.
So conceptual humor there.
Yes. Yeah.
Intentionally use the same color as the Ed Sullivan Theater seats?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And how to fit that beautiful little girl into that seat to come in. You know, all that was very light. That pole is a Doric column.
Yep.
And she was beautiful. She was beautiful.
Her name
She's
was
in
Brooke,
that.
By the way.
Huh?
Her name was Brooke, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was the stage manager's daughter.
Oh, yeah. You're kidding.
Oh, yeah. This is CK.
Louis CK.
I think this was Lee's nephew. I think it was.
Lee Ellenberg?
Yeah, I think it was.
His name is Leo. So that's Leo.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What a fantastic job you guys did on that one. That would have been done just in-house, I would assume, right?
Yeah, that was in-house, you know, makeup artists did it. Yep, yep. You know, yeah, there he is. Yeah.
Did you ever know Louis when he wrote on the show?
I didn't know him. I knew he was on the show. As
yeah.
One of the writers, yeah, like some of the other people that were there, yeah, I knew them. You know, the writers, they stayed till like 10 o'clock at night. You know,
yep.
They were, oh gosh, everybody was behind the scenes doing it. Let alone the edit people who were editing it to get it out on air that night. You know,
yeah,
everybody
absolutely.
Put in lots of time. You know, lived and breathed in our offices. Big family. Oh, yeah, you got that. Yeah.
There's the faucet. Yeah.
Yeah.
It turned out so beautifully.
Yes. Yeah. That was, it was very light, you know, it was good. It was that was given away too.
His name was Arlo, by the way, the
oh,
young
yes,
man.
Oh, yes, that's Sheila's son. Sheila's son. Yeah.
Yeah. There's another shot of it. There's Downton Abbey, of course.
Yeah.
And that was Haley.
Yeah, Haley's her birthday.
That's right. It was her birth. Oh, man. You got a memory like a steel trap. That's exactly right.
I
it was
hope
her birthday
so.
That
Gosh.
Day.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, she's beautiful.
I love this one.
He's cute.
This one was just so fun. And I assume the chapstick is that foam that you were talking about?
Yes, that. Well, no, it's different. The chapstick barrel is made out of... the mini cell phone.
Okay.
That is a packaging. Comes in big sheets, like 9 by 6. It's a packaging a material.
Yeah.
I get that in Pennsylvania somewhere. But that foam is that foam you get out of the bottle. You know, you go to Home Depot and that's that styrofoam that's
oh, like a urethane type deal. Okay.
Yeah. You have to think of things that work.
Now,
yeah.
I got a question about this one. The child's name is Simon. That's not Barbara's Simon, is it?
Oh, yeah. Isn't he cute?
Is that?
He's so cute.
So that's Barbara's son.
Yeah, that's Barbara's son.
Oh, that's adorable.
He's
as
so
soon as
expressive.
I saw the name was Simon, I wondered about it.
Yes, yeah. That's him.
Little cutie.
Yeah, Dave talks to him. He felt he knew him, so he had struck up a good conversation with him.
Yeah, and you wonder that. Like, I always wondered that because some of the kids that there was a rapport with, and you always wondered if those were the staff kids or not. This was a topical joke. I mean, again, another one that you can just do. This was the gal who
Janet
worked on
Yellen.
Obamacare.
Yeah. Janet Yellen, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Define a suit for her. Oh, this was a logistic one that had to be changed out. And this is the makeup artist's son. You know, inside that was all foam that went to Chinatown to get a Lazy Susan. You know, Chinatown, they have these Lazy Susans that they put in the middle of a table to serve. Well, I took the mechanism from that to which are ball bearings in a rod or circular circumferential rod. And I made that in there and they had to have a trap door. You see how that in itself, that costume had to be helped in the door because the nature of that costume had to be that size. We cut it down as much as I could, and he had to carry it.
And then the extra layer of the rotating meat, because the thing rotated. The thing
was a
rotating slab of meat you can buy off the streets in New York. That was the that was the, but yeah, very very detailed. And you've got sketches,
a lot of drawings
of that
on that. Yeah,
I'll add the sketches a little bit later as well. This one I love, Vladimir Putin on a horse.
Of course, if you had a side view of this little boy, who happens to be Lucas, my grandson.
That's your grandson?
Yes.
Oh, Sue, you're breaking my heart. That's beautiful.
Yeah, he's 16 now, but he, the makeup artist, he was so good. We had to put this wig thing on his head. He was so patient, you know? And then there's that skin flesh tone bodysuit for him.
Yep.
And his legs are on the bottom. He goes through and he's walking, but I got fake legs on the side of the horse. That was hilarious.
Oh, it's that's so great.
Yeah, so hilarious.
So your memory, your steel trap-like memory is absolutely incredible. Why don't we go back a little bit further now? Let's check out, this is from 1986.
Oh, yes.
So there's Roger Ebert, and I love the thing about Roger Ebert is they had two kids in for the Roger Ebert one.
You know, the writers, let me say, that was funny for them, you know. Size of a person was funny for them.
Absolutely.
You know, listen, they're writing their heads off, and you only have to say a joke once. Yep. That's the end of it. You know, you can't repeat it, you know. So I respect the writers doing that. Oh, and this is the over plug. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Socket. Yeah.
A dangerously overloaded electrical socket played by Jocelyn.
Yeah.
And Jocelyn now would be in her, well, man, she'd be in her almost 40 years old now.
Really? Really?
She would be at this point. So Jocelyn, if you're out there, well done. That's great.
Yeah. I think that was an actor. Thing. Actor kid.
Yeah. Oh,
those have to be made. Yeah. All that's, and again, that's that mini cell phone, light as it can be. Yeah. Every time I call the manufacturer Raleigh Foam, it's that time of the year, you know. Yeah, I need 10 sheets of this, you know.
A cocktail weenie?
Yes, that's a long time ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is all from the same year. This is all from 86.
Yeah, all from 86 and around there. I was making them and hiring one of my people that I knew that did that. So she was making all those. You know that bubble gum under the chair? That
yes.
I just think that concept was funnier than hell. And this is the guy with all those plugs. Yeah.
Recently divorced man with hair plugs. That's right.
Yes. Yes. Now that gets on.
So
real...
when you would get the list from the writers and whatnot, were there ever times where it would be like, oh, there's a relief there because there's more costumes like that you can kind of do in-house with a little thing as opposed to the bigger and whatnot? Like obviously some of those costumes are fairly simple for you.
Yeah, they are simple. When I start out, I start with the big mother load of what needs to be taken care of and time wise how long to get to construct.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and I'm always thinking about the simple ones and little girls. They're you have to shop around town. I think I went into Brooklyn. You know, there was a shop, I don't think it's there anymore, called Cookies. It had parochial school things and suits, you know. And Macy's was the only other store that would have a children's department with suits. But to find one with a little color, I had to go down into Fulton Street, Cookies around there that had all kinds of stuff. To this day, I don't wear other people get suits for their little kids for communion and stuff like that. Because I think that's why they existed.
Yeah, you know? No, that makes sense. And to, of course, enhance the comedy of the David Letterman show. So there's a couple more from 86 I wanted to show you. One in particular that I just love. This one here. That's a stack of National Geographic magazines.
Well, graphics had to be done on the side, yeah. But that idea is, you know, funny. Make it a little uneven there. Yeah.
But the process of making a costume like that back in 1986, completely different than 2006.
Oh, yeah.
You know, graphics back then were a very different animal than graphics later on, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. You didn't, you know, when I got to an 84, I'd like to say an 84, that's yep. when everything was being turned over to computers to do graphics, because the graphic designers used to hand do them with letter print.
Yep.
Remember the letter print? You'd go
absolutely
to our store and get letter print and do that.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we just Xerox all this on the Xerox machine to multiply it. At one point I had to fit in a money jacket. Did you know that you cannot print money on a computer, on a copier? You have to change the size or something, yep. because it can't be done.
Yeah, it's got to be parody money or movie money, as they say.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah
there's see, these are the little things here.
Yeah.
That you have to be careful.
Yeah, about. That $50 bill had to be a little bigger.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see here. This one here I really like.
It oh, folds out.
It's the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, yes. And that was done in 86? That's a
that
long
was 86 as well, yeah.
Oh, that's so long. I was doing all those myself because at that time, I had no staff. Did you know? I just had a wardrobe man that really did Dave, and I just did everything myself. I hired a friend of mine who was a that worked in media shops and industrials, and hired her to help me out. And we'd spend late nights doing it in the building at NBC.
At 30 Rock. Lots of time spent in 30 Rock. That's just
yes,
so...
lots of times 30 Rock.
There's a McDonald's manager right there.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Again, very simple one. So there's a good example of going to see the going to that shop to get the kids little suits and ties and things like that.
Yes. And I think he's got himself a little wig.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, you guys did a great job with him. Looks like almost a Nick Offerman type hairdo there. And this one I love, a pest. This is a pest strip or a bug.
Yeah,
strip.
The bugs would get called on there. Yeah, I went to the joke store. You know, you can't find those bugs anymore.
I was going to ask. So those were basically from a toy store or something like that?
They don't exist. No. And I was just like, oh gosh, I got this fly. It looks so good. I can't throw them away. Yeah.
Sue, I appreciate you doing this so much. I really, really do. Let's go back. Okay, I got to ask about the bra behind you, because
yes.
I know that was part of a costume too. Do you remember which costume that was part of?
Yeah. It was about that when the push-up bra was starting to happen. Uh-huh. Two kids, this got cut, but I couldn't throw it away. I farmed that out to someone else. I had two children in nude leotards. So they were flesh tone and one on each strap.
Yep.
And they cut that. They thought that was expediting children.
Okay, so it was over the line. The censors cut that one. It wasn't the writers or the staff that cut it. It was the censors that cut it.
Yeah, the censors cut it. You know, I get the word, and I put so much time into making it scaled to the right that this is so old. It's sitting there. And anybody who comes in this bedroom sleeps under this big red bra. Where did that come from, they say?
Oh, that's so great. What are some of the other things that you have saved from some of the costumes along the way?
The four opter. That is the examining.
Yep.
Behind me is this at the supermarket where you touch and write your name for the credit and run your credit card down.
Yep.
That's there. I have a Chiquatro razor blade thing that I thought it was so funny that I just couldn't throw it away. It was done very well.
Yep.
Clinton's heart. And it, I had a heart, and it was, it's really done up well. And I actually went to NYU and my general practitioner said, oh, you can go to this heart surgeon. He'll show you about the vein and everything where bypasses. So I went there and of course that got cut, but I saved the heart. So much work was put into it. Three-dimensional heart, you know?
Oh, that's
cool. And then you remember Fridays? Remember Fridays?
Yeah.
Well, Fridays no longer. Well, you know, Fridays used to be they used to decorate their walls with lamps and guitars and stuff like that and picture frames. I got one of those. And I have the big ass ham.
You have a big ass ham? You have the big ass ham costume?
Yeah, the original big ass ham.
That's fantastic. Don Giller is very jealous right now, as are a whole bunch of other Letterman collectors. That is a very, very cool thing to have. Great.
I don't know what to do with it. It's in my storage and it takes up so much room. You know, I'd like to give it to a museum, but you know, I don't know who would give me the time of the day for that. You know, I don't know.
I'm looking around my studio right now going, I wonder how much room that would take. Oh, that is so cool you have that. That's great.
Yeah, I did that myself, Big MM. I used to have, I did have interns from art schools. And this one girl, Johanna, was from my alma mater, Moore College of Art.
Yep.
And so we if you want to really know, I had no workspace. I did all my costumes on the floor in the hallway by the elevator. That's what I did.
It's so funny, too, because you think it would be the opposite, you know? As the show got bigger and bigger and bigger, that you would be given a bigger space, you know, once you get to the Ed Sullivan Theater. You'd think that would be grown, because the rest of the show grew. But your part actually kind of, your facility kind of shrunk.
Well, it just stayed the same. And that's the same with the props, with Ruth.
Yeah.
Ruth Siegel. Yep. Same. They only gave her a cage, you know, that's it. But you know, it was all about writers.
Yes.
And production office. Their naivety. Their naivety about what we do. And the space is needed for that.
Yep.
As a profession, you know, they were just thinking about writing and moving over, and Dave's big deal of going to CBS. This is a big deal.
Yes.
That political cha-ching politics. Ooh, Dave learned a lot from that.
Absolutely. It was a time in history, and it's just such a fascinating thing. Before we kind of close up this episode, thank you so much for coming back. We appreciate this so much. We would love to make this sort of a tradition where we go over some of these things. I mean, really, at the end of the day, we went over your sketches and we went over a couple of years, but there are 32 years of segments of this that we could go through. I hope you come back one day and we can talk about some more of these amazing costumes that you did, because really at the end of the day, they were only there for one segment and then they were gone, like you said, into the trash can.
Yeah.
I would love to bring it back out and talk to you about them some more and get some of these memories. Again, I'm astounded by your memory, Sue. It's amazing.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad it's intact.
Once again, oh, and you know what? I'm doing kind of this this tour with people who you know, because Rupert just recently retired. Rupert May sold the deli. You couldn't be there that night. You were out of town, which is too bad. But I know that you love them very much. Yeah. And any messages for Rupert May? Because Rupert, hello-deli.com, still sponsors the Letterman podcast. So is there any messages for Rupert or May?
Rupert, I would always run down there, and May had them say, I said, make me a Chinese breakfast. And you know what a Chinese breakfast is?
Tell me.
Steamed rice, a lightly turned over egg, soy sauce, and Tabasco. And you mix that all up together.
Yep.
That was good.
And he would do it? He would do it no problem?
Yeah. Because, you know, I didn't really eat half the time because I was busy.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I thought was nutritional. That I could stick to my ribs until I get home. Yeah, it filled me up.
Well, there you
go. I will see them. They are the most. They're good. I'm glad they're retiring. You know.
I'm very happy for them as well. It's obviously a sad thing that deli that was there for so long is gone now. But I'm so happy for Rupert and May that they're on the other side of it and have so much joy and so many good memories for it. Thank you very much for talking about that.
Yeah.
Before we close up, is there anything else that you had thought about wanting to talk about today?
Oh, well, I'm, you know, let's see, 8 years are going on 9 years and the show is gone.
Yep.
We set the bar, and Dave set the bar for other talk shows. And when you look at the reruns and YouTube, just so glad I was part of it. I didn't realize when I was there that this show would be, I don't know.
Revered?
More than revered. It just there's nothing like Dave's humor, I tell you. How does he come off of that? that's a genius. That's a genius. Yeah.
Absolutely. Very, very well said. Until the next time you come back on the Letterman podcast, thank you very much. She is Sue Hum.
Thanks for asking me.
Oh, anytime and every time. This won't be the last time.
Good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you again, too. I'll do a quick outro, and then we'll say our goodbye privately. So just stay there. That's why we do this show, is to get the ins and outs of what we consider to be the greatest body of broadcasting work in history, that of David Letterman and Company. This has been another episode of the Letterman Podcast with Mike Chisholm. Coincidentally, I am Mike Chisholm. Thank you, and good night.
Overcoat and underpants.